T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mark, did you expect Kenny to sing your praises like that?
You know, I'm kind of surprised. You know, I wasn't around that day, and all of a sudden my Twitter started blowing it up, and people were, like, photoshopping me, like, behind a podium and stuff. And I thought I was about ready to block him. I'm like, what are these people, like, ripping on me for? What did I do? Then I find out he mentioned me. Well, it was brought up by one of the guys. But, you know, just to put it out there, I hope you're not upset at me, Pony, because I know you and Kenny have something going on there that he, you know.
I winked at him at the game on Wednesday. I gave him a wink. When he was there with Mason Cole and the wide receiver who's trying to be the Ryan Switzer to his Ben Roethlisberger was Anthony Miller. Trying to butter him up.
Is that his name?
Yeah, from the Bears.
I thought Anthony Miller. Well, I'm thinking of the Chargers wide receiver, Anthony Miller, from like 20 years ago. You remember him? He was pretty good.
How about Tony Martin? Do you remember him in 94?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I watched that recently of that game and how Tim McCyer was talking crap earlier in the game, and he ended up being the one that got toasted at the end there.
Were you watching that game with Yoda?
No, I don't really know how I came across it. I was looking at maybe some...
No, I'm saying back in 94, did you watch it with
Yoli? Time,
no,
yeah.
I didn't know him at that point. I probably didn't know him until later in the 90s.
It's been all downhill from there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, I was supposed to tweet at him and tell him, my gimmick now is to tell him how much he likes these really bad bands. Okay. I just came up with a good one, better than Ezra. He probably likes them, too.
They had 2 good songs.
What did you make of Art's State of the Steelers press conference? How do you think he feels about the team? Do you think he thinks they're close to winning a Super Bowl again?
I think he thinks so, as he always thought. I mean, that is just like the Rooney way of thinking about the organization. And I don't think nothing's changed from what he said yesterday. I mean, everything's the same. I mean, it worked in the 70s and how they – you know, did through the draft and did a certain way. And that's the way I think that they're continuing to do it. I mean, they want to, as you know, they want to stay competitive. And in those years where they think that they're close to being a Super Bowl contending team, maybe make a run at it. And it's just basically status quo. And that's what I wrote. It's been status quo for them last year and the year before that and whatever, of just how they go about their business. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't think that's going to change. Didn't change when Dan was running the show. It didn't change when the chief was running the show.
Should it change, Mark?
And it won't change when Danny runs the show here in 5, 10, 15 years, his son. So that's just the way they go about their business.
But didn't he allude to some change with the draft? Didn't he say with the draft there might be some change?
Yeah, he alluded to it, but I think he just meant different voices in the room of being able to put together the board. We know that Andy Weidel is the guy that will present them the board, basically. Well, of course, with help from the scouts of the final draft board. But I think if we're having some kind of notion that Andy Weidel is going to have a ton of say-so in it past that, I think we're kidding ourselves. I think that's probably a little bit disrespectful of a general manager of any sort, including Omar Khan. He's going to be highly involved in this and highly involved in the decision-making. He still is a guy that's, you know, beneath Omar Khan. So when it comes down to it, it's going to have Omar's going to have a lot of say so in the draft picks and the direction this team goes. Where Andy comes in is he'll set the board and present it to the team, and then they'll move on from there. I don't think it's going to be like Andy Weidel's draft. You know what I'm saying? We're drafting this guy number one. No, it's just not going to work with it like that. So I think Omar's going to have a lot more to say in this draft than maybe people were anticipating.
What kind of relationship does Omar have with Mike Tomlin, to your knowledge?
Just being around him for the past 16 years. I mean, then I know that it's probably not as good as a relationship as it was with Kevin Colbert, because those guys spent 16 years on the road together, but Omar plans on doing that and getting to know them. Put it this way, if Mike didn't want Omar as a general manager, I don't think that he would have been the chosen one. I know that Art ultimately made that decision, but I'm sure it had to be cleared by Mike Tomlin as well. So I think they get along well enough. I mean, the working relationship still yet to be seen and how they work together in these situations, because we know the strengths of Omar. We know the strengths that he, or the weaknesses of him, and his weaknesses are somewhat of, evaluating players. That's why they brought Andy Weidel in, to be able to take over that route of the, what they needed to do to present a board like that. But I think they get along well. I mean, they hang out together, and I saw them drive together to DeFranco's funeral, stuff like that. But I don't think they're, breaking bread at Sunday afternoon dinner or something like that. Honest with you.
Mark, if you were Matt Canada, how would you feel after you heard the owner of the team you work for talk about your job performance and why you're still here?
I feel pretty good. I mean, I don't know if that's really how he feels deep down internally. That's what they told us about how he felt about him. I mean, it's not like he went out of his way and said, Matt Canada is the next star in the making. He's saying he showed improvement. And to be honest with you, I wonder how much Kenny Pickett had, effect on him staying around. Not only maybe what he talked about and how he said, he likes to work with Matt Canada but just how he's gotten better. If they just have a ho-hum, run-in-the-mill quarterback, not a first-round pick, not a 20th overall pick, I wonder if they do keep Matt Canada, because it's real what Art said, that you could be setting yourself back right from the beginning if you have another coordinator come in and he doesn't, you have to learn all from the start again. But you're taking a chance as well there, because – who says that, they hire Byron Leftwich and, he doesn't work out, and then you lose a couple years, So I think Kenny had a lot to do with Matt Canada staying around. I think it was the lesser of two evils, to put it that way. Let's see what this guy can do for one more year with some of these guys that, have one more year experience, maybe try to open it up a little bit more. But unless there's a significant difference, I believe, a playoff appearance, maybe even more than that, definitely more than 17 points a game, definitely more than, two touchdowns per game, that I think Canada wouldn't be back next year if he pulls off the same type of situation next year.
Mark, what did you make of Art Rooney when he was asked about kind of the skill positions on offense, saying he likes what they have there, but then when he was asked about the offensive line, what did you interpret from his answer about that line, saying we're always striving to get better? Is that maybe a hand being tipped a little bit about what they might be looking for in the first round?
First of all, it's a hell of a question by me, right?
Yes, it was.
Second of all, yeah, I mean, that's a tough evaluation there, I think, because you can get lost in the fact that they did go 7-2 over that final nine games, and they were playing well. But then if you dig deeper down into that, and you realize that maybe Dan Moore wasn't as consistent, maybe Kevin Dawson wasn't as consistent as they needed to be, you can get really lost in the fact that they played 99.2% of the snaps together, and they continue to improve. But you need to upgrade talent right there, and I think that's basically what Art said there. He goes, we're going to have to keep our eyes open for to improve the overall talent of this offensive line. I think, you know, the center to the right side were pretty much intact because, you know, money-wise, age-wise, and you know, actually they play well with Chooks, Daniels, and Cole. I think what he's basically talking there is that left side. And, hey, the thing is there is this would be the year, in my opinion, to go get one. Even if you have to move up a little bit in the draft to get an offensive tackle, then you can rely on potentially, you know, Dan Moore for a half a season before you can throw in the new guy.
Yeah.
You know, not, so this would probably, in my opinion, if they can get to the guy that they want, would be the perfect time to pull the trigger on that left tackle. And the worst comes to worst, you push Dan Moore in the guard. You got Kendrick Green. You got Dan Moore. You got Kevin Dotson fighting for one spot, maybe a half an hour as well. Then you create depth that way as well. I'm telling you, you know as well as I do, they're one injury away from being an absolute awful offensive line. If you look at the people behind them, there wasn't much in the way in the talent behind them.
Mark,
they got to fix that.
Mark Cabali, great Steelers insider, is our guest here after talking with Art Rooney yesterday. So, you know, they plugged those holes in free agency last year, at least at center and right guard with Cole and Daniels. And you guys asked Rooney about their cap situation. He said it's going to be a challenge, even though they've got a quarterback on a rookie deal. Now, after Art talked with you guys, Mark, he did a one-on-one with Pomp, and Pomp, you know, he did that Jedi trick on him, and he got Art to actually say some things, and Art's like, I expect Mitch Trubisky to be back next year. I like the job Mitch did. Well, I couldn't believe that of all the players he talked about, he seemed like he gave the firmest answer on their backup quarterback, who's got a giant cap hit. Mark.
Yeah.
I was floored by that.
And who doesn't want to be here,
If the owner says, I expect him to be back, he's probably going to be back, no?
I don't know. You're in a tough situation. I mean, if he says, well, we'll see, then we'll speculate for the next 3 months, sort of like how we speculated how Mason was the number one guy for what, from mid-January until they signed Mitch in March last year. So
well, Malzi reminded me that one Steelers insider maintained that he would start even into August.
Was that me?
No.
Who was that, Malzi?
Wexel. Wexel said he would be their opening day starter, I believe.
Well, I mean, I think he played well. And I always say that if it was everything was fair and everything was even or in the vacuum, as Mike Tomlin would say, I think he should have started week one, but they went the right route the way they did. And now I totally forget the question you asked me now because you got
Trubisky.
Me on Mason Rudolph.
Trubisky's cap hit coming back.
Yeah. I mean, that's $8 million. I think they can save, right, was that? $2.5 million of dead money.
Yep.
If you're looking for money to create, and that's what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to create money by dumping people. I mean, William Jackson, I think, is on the books for like $9.5 million right now because a lot of those bonuses they deleted when they traded for him. That comes off the board. Cam Sutton comes off the board because he was a guy that voids his contract now, but you're going to have to do some restructuring with Watt. You're going to get a ton of money there, restructuring with Fitzpatrick, potentially extending Hayward to be able to save some money. So they're going to have to create money. But one way you create money is not pay your backup quarterback $8 million. I see where he's talking about. You want a quarterback with, you know, a veteran quarterback that knows your system and has somewhat of a success here, but I don't want a backup quarterback for $8 million. I want like Gardner Minshew for like $3 million or something to that effect there. So I think he said that just for the fact that he's still under contract, obviously. And who knows if you can find anybody cheaper and better. So
what about Jacoby Brissett, a Matt Canada favorite?
I wouldn't expect Trubisky to be back. He seemed miserable at the end of the last season. So, I mean, you know.
He didn't like going out for those coin tosses as a ceremonial captain. He got tired of that.
Yeah. He was a hostage here, right? So he still thinks he can play, and he could probably have a better chance somewhere else. So if he wants to really push the issue, I mean, of course he can get out of here, save him some money. But the question is who you bring in as well. But once again, if everything goes back during the old Ben days, you remember the old Ben days when we used to say it doesn't matter who the backup quarterback is because if you lose Ben, you're not winning anyways. You're almost at that point with Kenny Pickett, right? If you're going to miss him, you're probably not going to have a good chance of being successful and being a playoff team anyway. So how much stock do you put into a backup quarterback? But I can tell you this for sure. Mason's not coming back. He packed his stuff and was out the door before you even know it. He has no interest in coming back here. So, and I don't blame him, but so he's not coming back. So they'd have to find somebody.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, what did you make of the way Art Rooney talked or didn't talk about Mike Tomlin's defense and Mike Tomlin in general and being mum on everything Tomlin related, but especially that defense and that contract?
Yeah, the contract is – I just imagine that's going to get done. Historically, typically, you're looking, what, end of June, early July before training camp, before all of a sudden that pops up somehow that he signs an extra – 2-year extension. I anticipate that's the way they would go. I don't know if he really wants to say that right now. Then what if it, you know, drags on? I mean, once again, Art's a lawyer. Art knows what to say and how to say it and not really say anything by saying some stuff too as well. So I thought that was at least a little bit interesting, but I anticipate him being signed whatsoever. And the whole thing, well, we were there for like 20, 21, 22 minutes. Like I keep saying, Art's a pro. I mean, was he in his 70s now? Been doing this for 20 years. He's not going to say anything that he doesn't want to be said. So if he's not pushed by wanting to say anything positive about the defense, he's just backing up the offense. Unless you're Ball Pompiani, then you can get pretty much anything out of it, right?
Last one for you, Mark. Are you going to listen to Crowley and Donnie co-hosts tonight, those two guys? Does that tag team do anything for you?
I would much rather just listen to Donnie by himself. I mean, Crowley's into that old morning show, you know, craziness, fake wild stuff, let's act crazy type of stuff there. Donnie's more straight line football talk, sports talk, you know. You know, there's this crazy, loony morning guy.
Yeah, the tomfoolery. He's into that. He's into the shenanigans.
Yeah, he's a tomfoolery.
Hey, wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's now Adam Crowley. He's turned into that. I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, wait a minute. You
that,
don't think
though.
That's the true, authentic Crowley? You think this is a pretend Crowley?
Well, he's always been a dope, but he's a little bit more of a dope now. But,
now, who do you blame for that? What do you think's the true reason behind that? Do you have a theory?
I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to stand out in a 13-man morning show booth, right? I don't know. You can't have.
Well, you want to talk about radio hijinks? Right? Want to talk about radio hijinks? The entire morning show is going to Groundhog Day at Gobbler's Knob next week, Mark.
And what's going to happen? Crowley's going to dress up like a groundhog or something, or
no? He's going to put on a tuxedo and a top hat like that secret society that carries the groundhogs around.
Or he's going to keep stepping in the mud puddle like Bill Murray on Groundhog Day. And they're going, once again, he's going to do some tomfoolery up there. Perfect words. We're like cooks flabbergasted. He's going to do something up there.
Or swagger.
And they're going to make him look like a fool. So back to your original question, if it was more Donnie, I would tune in. I think that Donnie, if you're listening,
he's producing. Of course he's listening.
He's right here.
I don't know if he's listening. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. I don't know. I don't know how to think.
Who do you think he is, Harry Callis?
Don't get dragged in by the Adam Crowley, whatever.
He's basically saying don't let the Crowley stupidity bring you down.
I will try to keep
him
on track, Mark.
No, you know, just say yeah. I mean, he would call me up all the time and just talk about my toilet use, you know.
Crowley
when he worked
would?
At the other
That's
station.
What I told you.
Yeah, the other station.
Crowley's three main things now, Mark, are sexual innuendo,
poop,
bowel movements, and what's the other one I said earlier?
Sexual innuendo again.
Bowel movements.
Self-deprecation. No.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, the bowel movements has always been there, so at least he's staying true to himself on that one.
All right. Mark Cabali, everybody. Steelers
Bye,
insider.
Mark.
Beloved by Kenny Pickett. Thank you, Mark.
All right, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.